What's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
Now, earlier this week, I had a discussion with the boss of the Port Authority, Russell Beer, about the future of our port. And fundamentally, we haven't had much discussion about recent developments in the Pacific to our northeast and east. And they can be, well, for defence authorities, quite a matter of concern. There's a little bit of aggression starting to emerge and arrogance emerging from those nations. And, of course, the threat is always there that China's knocking on the door, looking for acceptance as a future ally. So what does it mean for our Port of Cairns, was the discussion with Russell Beer. Well, there's already a fair bit of work being planned. Because why? We are on the northeast corner of the continent. We are quite close to that part of the Pacific. Even if we want to look at, for example, weather emergencies, if there's cyclones and help has to be got out to those remote islands, etc., Cairns is ideally positioned. It's closer than, for example, Sydney, when we talk about our naval capabilities. The other matter that's been brought up is very interesting indeed. Here's an interesting quote, for example. This is Dr. Coyne. He heads up the independent think tank's Northern Australia Strategic Policy Centre. He said it's important Cairns knows its place in the future of Australia's defence. He said an increase in movement by other countries to secure strategic locations close to far north Queensland means Cairns must act decisively. Cairns is on the edge, he said, of the territory of this part of the Pacific and an important connection point. Then he went on to say this. We've entered a time of great power competition and strategic uncertainty. And it is in our backyard. Here's the key sentence. If you are living in Cairns, he said, then Chinese activity is closer to you than the Australian government in Canberra. John Gray, Australia's former top-ranking military officer, retired Lieutenant General John Gray, agreed and said the federal government must designate Cairns as a strategic port or defence operations would suffer. And I think there's a lot of people listening saying, well, they should have been talking about this, you know, some time ago, months or years ago, as these developments were starting to heat up. But anyway, Dr. John Coyne, to his great credit, head of Northern Australian Strategic Policy Centre and at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, has spoken out on the matter. John, good morning.
Good morning.
This is very timely because lots of people have been contributing to the program in recent months, particularly saying, hang on a minute, cast your eyes to the north, the northeast and the north and the northwest. Look at all the activity. Look at all the sabre rattling and look where we are strategically at the top of Australia. And you've come out and mentioned this matter. It was interesting talking to Russell Beer, Cairns Ports boss the other day about work that's being planned. Talk to me about where we need to see ourselves, the strategic importance of where we sit on the Australian mainland and what we should be focusing on, John Coyne.
Look, thank you very much. And look, it's always awkward to hear your own words quoted back to you, especially so many of them. So, look, what I would say to you and to your listeners is this. The thing it's sometimes forgotten below the north of 26 latitude, so which is just about the bottom of NT, a line drawn across the country, is that the north is really, when I talk that northern Australia, is a connection point. The world's largest expatriate population of Papuans live in Cairns. So this isn't just about creating, you know, a military base, and we will talk about that, or creating greater resilience and supply chain resilience. This is also about all of Australia's soft power, its connections. It's the fact that right now there's about 15 or 16 young Pacific Islanders who are training and spending 16 weeks, I believe, in Cairns, learning how to be ship captains, doing simulations. It's about the fact that fleets of aircraft from across the Pacific come in and are maintained at your airport. It's the fact, if you look at the map, for those who are old, you know, you look back in the Cold War and we were this sort of strategic backwater. And now I'm not saying there's drums of war and I'm not saying we're in a Cold War, but what I'm saying is that if you look at the map today of where all the action is, where all the great competition is, people in Cairns, in North Queensland, people in Northern Territory, people in North and Western Australia are on the front line. And we can no longer ignore that.
Well, if we're not to ignore it, what are we supposed to think about it, and what perhaps changes to our attitude need we start looking at?
Look, I think there's a couple of things here, and I want to couple this with climate change, and some of your locals will probably applaud me when I talk about this in terms of roads to the Atherton tableland. So in this environment, so since the 80s and throughout my military and national security career, we've always said we had more than 10 years notice, or we would get more than 10 years notice of a major conflict. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be a major conflict. What I'm saying is that we've now been told that we have less than 10 years. So we can no longer plan on the fact that we'll get some notice and we can build the necessary infrastructure we need. So this is all about roads. This is about building things so that we're ready to use the maximum soft power in the interim. So as you said before, this is the sort of thing where there's massive weather events, whether it's tsunamis or earthquakes, that we're able to move rapidly out of North Queensland and by that defence to be able to go forward and support our neighbours in the Pacific when they need us. Because Australian influence in that region isn't about checkbook diplomacy, it's about interpersonal connections, and we have those. Secondly, is we need to make sure that we have the necessary road transport and supply chain resilience. Interesting enough, earlier this year I was sitting across in Hawaii at Indo-Pacific Command, which is the US military's major headquarters. First off, there's a really telling thing. When you look at their planning maps, Australia is in the centre of it, and interestingly, only Northern Australia. So we should let that sort of sink in for those who are outside of Canberra, and certainly people like myself who are sitting in Canberra should absorb that. Secondly, is that a US general said to me, he said, you know, John, it's really complex for us. We do an exercise every 2 years, Talisman Sabre, coming up. So 26,000 Americans will come to North Queensland. He said, we have to treat it like an expeditionary activity. We have to treat it like we have to plan 2 years in advance to make sure that we've got all the logistics and things we need. And that's a telling tale of what needs to be done here. This is about building better roads, better rail connections, better electricity, better water.
I'm very interested in your use of the term soft power. What is soft power?
Let's put it, this is really about diplomacy, but a wider understanding of diplomacy. And it's not, you know, in that soft power space, we often hear and read in our major newspapers about how China's building a Belt and Road Initiative and building infrastructure all over the place. That's a form of soft power. The other forms are the things like the 14 years our Australian Federal Police spent living and working and bringing peace and new training and capabilities to the Solomon Islands. It's about the strong relationships between Papua New Guinea and Australia. So the fact that Papua New Guineans fly down and get medical treatment in Australia. So that soft power is that it's a power in its own right. It brings people together and provides connections, and the sorts of connections that prevent what we saw and what we've seen more recently in terms of agreements between China and Solomon Islands.
Exactly.
And we should put that really, really clearly. The agreement there is not between China and Solomon Islands, the people of Solomon Islands. That agreement is between the Prime Minister of the Solomon Islands, Prime Minister Sogavare, and the Chinese Communist Party.
This is very interesting, John. I've run out of time, but we've got to keep our finger on the pulse of these developments. This has been fascinating today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, what a mountain of information. His name is Dr. John Coyne, and he's the head of Northern Australian Strategic Policy Centre, Australian Strategic Policy Institute.